Well, hey guys, welcome to this week's episode of Conversations with Josh. I'm so excited to jump into this week's topic. We're going to be talking about how to lead volunteers. What are some things in my experience, in my past of leading volunteers? I mean, what are the things that we need to do, we need to implement, we need to even think about to make sure we are leading our volunteers with the best capabilities and best abilities we can possibly do? How do we cultivate culture when we're not paying them? How do we create leaders when, again, we're not paying them? There's no real contract or agreement, man. They're just jumping in and believing that. Again, in my context, it would be the church, but again, there's so many other places people volunteer, and I understand that if you're leading a nonprofit or even a business, and there might be people who are volunteering within your ecosystem. But again, in my context, it would be the church. I've been serving in the church for almost over 10 years now, but I've been leading volunteers and even leading leaders who lead volunteers for almost 8 years. And again, I would not say I'm an expert in this, but these are some things in my experience of, man, how are we leading volunteers, even in two church plants and leading in a church in Iowa that has probably over 500 volunteers, and being a part of that at a young age and just learning to be able to, how do we do it? So I'm going to give you five thoughts to help you lead volunteers. And man, I promise you, I'm not going to promise you perfection or that if you copy and paste everything I say that the best outcome will come. But I promise you, what I can say is that if you would listen to these, you would write them down and you would observe them and think about, man, if I did these or I had the spirit of these, I promise you people will jump in. People will say yes and have a positive spirit. So number one, they aren't doing us a favor. We are providing opportunities for them to rise up into God's design. We're not doing favors here. We're not saying, hey, can you do me a favor? Hey, can you do this? Can you help me? Because the reality is if you, the mindset of, man, we need more volunteers. We want them to help us. We want them to help me with the vision God gave me. I'm just going to tell you right now, you're going to attract thinkers. I mean, you're not going to attract thinkers. You're going to attract doers. And we don't want doers. We want leaders. We don't want just robots. We want people to think like they own the place. And what our responsibility is to help lead them to the place to understand that serving was God's idea. Wasn't man's idea. It was God's idea. Working and building was actually God's idea. So, because the thesis here is if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you should be serving in the local church. And I don't care what you're serving in, but the reality is God's plan A for humanity is the local church. Yes, he called you to be the church, but usually in that context, it is in a local community, which we would call the church. The church was never itemized into one person. It's a collective group of people who are saying, the only response I could possibly give based on what Jesus did for me is to serve people who don't know him yet. So it's our reality, it's our responsibility anyways to help people get to that place or conclusion in their mindset through the Bible, through your convictions, and through you leading the best you can be. Just another thought with that. We don't need you, you need it. And you would never say that, right? We don't need you, you need this. But there is a truth to this to say, hey, we don't actually need more people. God has given us all that we need. And every single time that somebody new comes in, gives their life to Jesus, it's our responsibility to help paint the picture of what serving Jesus looks like. Because most of the time, it isn't pretty. It isn't this awesome thing where you get to stand on a platform and preach to people. It's usually one person every Sunday. So what are the other 400 people doing? Man, we got to make sure they understand serving is an identity when it comes to being a part of the church. It's what we do. We're servant leaders. We're people who go above and beyond and serve. So we've heard this quoted, and again, this is scripture, but those who are planted in the house will flourish. What the scripture just said, I'll read it slower. Those who are planted in the house will flourish. Not planted in a seat will flourish. Just because you attend church does not mean you're planted. When you think about being planted, what I would say is, man, are you serving? Are you giving? Are you participating? Are you carrying culture? Are you being the culture? Are you being a person who has people in your home, serves people well with a positive and encouraging spirit? That to me sounds like somebody who's planted in the house. And again, I understand that there's always an extreme to this, but my suggestion to you is to never talk about the 1 or 2% of people who have misused this, but talk about the 98 who are doing it positively and the right way. So, man, you got to be planted in the house. If you want to flourish in life, you want to your marriage to flourish, your personal development to flourish, your family to flourish, it starts with being planted. And being planted means I am choosing to do this. I'm choosing to bury myself in what God has designed us to do, which is build the local church, to participate in that. So again, we aren't doing them a favor. We're providing opportunities for them to rise up into God's design. Number two, not everyone will build the way you want to build, and that's okay. Your responsibility as a leader is to put words around what God is speaking to you and the things that you are envisioning in your mind that God spoke to you 10 years ago, 20 years ago, whatever amount of years ago, that is the future you're supposed to create. That is the church that you're supposed to create. That's okay. There's going to be people who are so attracted to the vision that God gave you. And there's very much so going to be people that they're not attracted to the vision that God gave you. That's okay. That's what makes the church so beautiful, is that somebody can find their flavor and they can participate and build that. But that doesn't mean that you have to constantly change what you believe God has spoken to you to make sure more people join. Because we know this, but the wrong people on the bus is most of the time the biggest problem in church. And especially when you're trying to build a team that actually does something together, you want to have the right people on the bus. It's Good to Great and Built to Lead, I believe, are the two books that would really help you learn how to shape this. But you got to make sure the right people are in the right seat on the bus. But again, like I said, put words around what you see in your heart and allow people to say yes or allow people to say no. That's our responsibility. And again, most of the time, 86% of churches in America don't have a next steps department in their church. Most of the time, this is where this happens, is there's a specific course or a class that people can take to understand your church and to understand the mission, the vision, the values, who we are, who we're not. And again, we don't ever waver on the values. Our identity, our values as a church don't waver. And again, that's can be aggressive, but again, what we're building towards is unity. And unity happens when you give people permission to say no and say yes. And again, it's how we tell the story of the vision. It's again, actually getting a God vision and making sure people can say yes and say no to it. And again, make it super practical. Make it easy for people to join your team. Make it easy for people to join and participate in what God is doing in your house, God's house. You won't be everyone's flavor. Learn to move on. Like I said, man, people need to find their flavor. That's why there's so many different churches in your city. That's why there's so many churches in your local context. And again, I love a secure leader who says, hey man, this might not be for you, but again, it actually might be. And things that we are not going to waver on God's truth and our values. And again, values might look different in your context because you might have a heart for missions. Every church should care about missions, but it just might be expressed or look different in your context. And that might be something that someone is attracted to, or they're not, and that's okay. But you need to learn to let people go. You don't want to just continue to change and alter your personality or alter the vision that God gave you to make sure the person is going to be there. You have to be unapologetic about who you are and who you're not and who we are and who we are not. So again, you won't be everyone's flavor. Learn to move on. We don't chase Christians. I say this all the time. You don't chase Christians. They're already going to heaven. And again, it's our responsibility to help them understand the truth of the word and to understand that, man, I actually do need to volunteer. I need to participate. Just because I'm not getting paid doesn't mean that I shouldn't participate in my local church. But the reality is that's it. You portray it, you teach them. But again, you don't chase them. Think about the prodigal son for a moment. The father didn't chase him out the house and forced him to come back and changed, hey, actually, I want to give you more money to come back. I want to give you more of your inheritance. No, he gave it to him because, again, it was his son. And he said, I'll be here. I'll wait on the porch. And again, every morning, scripture says that he checked out and his son wasn't there. He didn't leave his house. He didn't lower his standard. He didn't lower his values for his son. But what he did was when he came back, he was ready. He embraced him. He ran towards him. They threw a party and they celebrated that moment. Similar in our context, man, we don't chase Christians. We have a specific value. We have values and we have standards. And it's our responsibility to make sure those are kept and held with a high responsibility, because it's our responsibility to steward what God has given us. Number three, your authority is in your authenticity. That's Pastor Chris Hodges there, but your authority as a leader, especially when you're leading people who are not getting paid, is in your authenticity. You got to be an authentic leader to lead volunteers, because keep in mind, most of these people have families, they have jobs, they have hobbies, they have things that they love, that they care about, and that you're actually asking them to be generous with their time, which we know is actually more valuable than money, because they can make more money. We talk so much about money in the church, which I love, because I believe that's the number one stress in our current cultural context in America, but again, kind of across the world. So I understand why we talk about that. Let's talk about time. That's actually more valuable than money, and we're asking people to commit to it. So there is a weight to it. And again, a person wants to follow somebody who is real. They want to follow somebody who is a human being, not a king, not a person who is a lord over people. You're just a normal person who God placed in a position of authority. And again, there is a thing there that you will always be their pastor. You will always be their leader. It doesn't mean you always have to be their friend. And again, I've heard it said multiple times that it's just a different hat you wear. So you wear a hat as a pastor, that pastor hat never comes off, because that's your calling. But your friend hat sometimes just needs to come off. You need to be honest with them, you need to challenge them, you need to push them. But again, you need to be an authentic leader. If you're leading people who don't get paid by you, you need to double check your spirit and ego. You need to double check your spirit on how you're talking and how you're treating volunteers. Because by the way, you should not treat volunteers how you treat staff. There is a distinct difference on paying somebody and not. And again, it always looks like right in the beginning phase. Obviously, I said I was a part of two church plants. There is a weight to saying yes to starting something and building something and always being available and always saying yes. And your no will always be more important than your yes. We know that. But again, I wanted to follow a leader who was authentic, who was them. They were unapologetically them. And that version of them, again, it isn't this like weird, like bleeding on people, which we'll talk about in a moment, but they're just a normal human being. And I hope that you understand that man, you should be normal. You should be authentic. And again, check your spirit, check your ego and how you're talking to people, how you're treating people, how you're asking people to do something. Are you saying please? Are you saying thank you? Again, are we going above and beyond to make sure people feel special when they're serving? Like I said, don't bleed on your volunteers, especially always talking about how hard ministry is. Welcome to the club. Everyone's life. It's 2024, and you might be listening to this in 2032. That's okay. I'm assuming in the future, it'll still be hard, because it's been hard for the last 2,000 years. You read the book of Acts. It wasn't sunshine and rainbows, but what you don't see is them bleeding on the people who they're leading and just complaining about ministry. Complaining about how hard it is, complaining about their call time, complaining about the sermon prep time. No, stop complaining about it, because God puts you there. And every time in scripture you see somebody who's in a place of authority complaining, it usually indicates a time of wandering. And we don't want to wander. We want to actually live on mission and live on the vision that God gave us. So please don't be the complainer. Please don't be the leader who just bleeds on everybody. And again, welcome to the club. Life is hard. Buckle up. That's our journey. That's why we believe in Jesus Christ, because he's actually the solution. So don't bleed on your people. Learn to be authentic, but again, not bleed on them. They are not your counseling group. They're the people God placed in your life for you to pastor them and to lead them. So number four, don't look for people that want to serve your vision. Look for people who have vision. When you're thinking of leading volunteers, and again, I've been in so many conversations with churches, with pastors, with leaders of this conversation of recruitment. And again, recruitment happens when there is an attractiveness to what you're doing. Man, people want to join your team when they see what you're doing. You would never want to join a team of any context, if there's this constant loss, effort, loss, no vision, no mission, it's just a mundaneness and the leader has zero weight nor our authenticity to him, you just wouldn't want to do that. So what I'm always looking for in people, especially in the church context, I'm looking for people who have vision. Where is God leading you? Like, where is God taking your family? Where's God taking you? And again, it might look like a 16-year-old who's got a big God vision. Man, they want to change the world. I love that. I love a motivated leader. I love a motivated person because you'll never be able to just motivate them. You know, you actually have a true leader in front of you when you don't have to motivate them. They're self-motivated. They're self-disciplined. But again, they got a dream. They got a vision. They got something in their heart that they're eager for God to do and see in the future. That's somebody that I want in my corner, in my team. And again, we're not hoarding them. We're always saying, hey, I know that you have a dream. I know that you have vision. And again, vision leaks. So for you, man, keep that vision. Keep running your race. I promise you, we're going to run together. And my goal as a leader is to help you get to whatever that is for you. This is a super practical context. Maybe somebody has a huge dream someday to start a digital content business. They want to do wedding photography. What a great opportunity to learn in church. And again, to still volunteer, to still sow into it. But you invest in them. You make sure that, man, hey, let's watch videos together. Let's read a book together. Let's watch whoever's YouTube videos to learn about Aperture or whatever. And again, you're bringing people along and helping them fulfill their dreams. And I said this a couple of days ago, but if you help other people see their dreams come to pass, you will always have great people around you, great leaders around you, because they know you're not a hoarder and you are generous with your time, your talents, and your treasures. And a generous person will always replicate generosity in other people. So don't look for people that want to just serve your vision. And again, there will always be people like that around you, and God bless them. And again, make sure to thank them so much. And it's our responsibility, though, to build people and to help the people who are already being built and self-fed, self-led, to make sure that, hey, man, your dreams will come true if we believe the best and work hard together. One of the biggest tests of your level of leadership is how you lead people who have vision. So it's super easy to lead somebody who doesn't have vision, but how do you lead people who have a bigger vision than you? And again, it's our responsibility to communicate. Unity is everything. Unity is not conformity. Hey, I'm not asking you to conform to, you got to be this type of person. You got to have a personality like this. But what I'm asking you to do is get behind the mission and vision and put a timeline on it. Hey, let's commit together that you and me are going to build for a year. And let's have a conversation in a year. Let's see where your heart is at. And again, if there is a time and place where you truly feel like it is time, let's have a conversation. And again, it doesn't need to be this big thing either. I'm saying, man, when they walk into the room and they see the room how you see it, or even better than that, they know ways to make the church or the experience better without you asking them. And you know that they see things that you don't see, or you see things that they don't see. Man, that's somebody that you want on your team, and you want them to have permission to lead. You want them to have permission to see and to be an innovator and to help create change. Look for people who don't have to, that you don't have to help them to get it. That's what I'm trying to say. They already kind of speak your language. They already live the values of your organization. They already live on mission, and they're coming in. Man, they're hungry and ready to make a difference. That's not a 6-month timeline right there. That's a 6 days. Hey, man, how quickly do you want to jump in? Hey, I see you seeing things that nobody else sees. What do I need, or what do you need for me to make sure that, man, you have the freedom to lead and to make a difference? Because I always want to surround myself with people who I don't have to always explain everything. Especially when you're leading a bunch of people. My wife and I led almost 250 people in our last context. There's no way I can sit and explain to 250 people how to specifically do something. And we were loaded and load out church. Or if you're not here, what that is you got to set up. You got to show up at 4 a.m. and set up the church. You walk into a school building, and 2 hours later, you have a church in a context of it looks and feels like the mission and vision values that you're aiming towards. I can't explain every single thing to 250 people, but what I can do is find the people who get it and have them explain to 20 people, and those 20 people help the other 20 people, and it multiplies itself. You don't multiply yourself. Look for people who are already leading and who already get it. And again, that's not for everybody, and I understand that. And there is a level of development that has to take place with whoever you're trying to lead. But the reality is there are people who get it and there are people who don't. And it's our responsibility to focus on people who get it to help them lead the people who don't. And that's how you multiply yourself. That's how you lead a bigger organization than just like 5 or 10 people. It's when I'm talking more than 20, more than 50, it is really hard to help everyone get it. So it's truly helpful to find people who already do. The last one here, care more about the person and their family than what we are doing. What we're doing is important. Who we're becoming is even more important. And I'm saying personal life, family life, work life. Man, I want to know, I want to get in your world and help lead you to be the person that when you walk in on Monday morning, you are the best person in that organization. And that happens when I care more about you than what we're doing. And again, I would always say, I didn't say don't care about what we're doing. There just needs to be a level of prioritization here, because you are more important to me than what we're doing. Yes, there's a task. Yes, there are things that we need to do. We need to do with excellence and proper care, which means I should care about you, because if I can help you see what I see, but also become the man or woman of God that he designed you to be through his word and through discipleship, I promise you those people will be the best leaders in the room, best thinkers in the room, best pastors in the room, because there's a true conviction in your heart that I am here to build disciples. I'm not here to build minions. I'm not here to replicate myself and everybody. I'm helping them become who God has designed them to be. So that takes vision. That takes conversation. That takes consistency. That takes being a person who will show up, will be there when they need it, when they don't, and to help them know that, hey, I'm in your corner. I genuinely believe God has something so big in your life, and all that is important. But more than that, I care about who you're becoming. So be genuinely interested in them, their life, their job, their kids, their family, the things that they love. And that's part of being a leader, is finding common ground. I'm always asking questions to people in our church to just find commonalities. Like, oh, hey, you love sports? I love sports. And there might be things that I don't love, but I'm still interested enough in them that I'll have a conversation about it. And part of, I would say 90% of a Sunday for a leader is just having conversations with people, asking the right questions and be genuinely interested in them. And that's how to win friends and influence people. 101, Dale Carnegie, be genuinely interested in them and actually have heart surgery in yourself to say, do I actually care about them? Like, do I actually care about their life, their puppy, their whatever? And again, it's not about who they are today. It's about who they're becoming. And again, that takes vision. That takes sitting in prayer and saying, God, help me see what you see. Help me see the future version of them and help me get them there. God, use me to help them flourish in 10 years, in 20 years. Help me be the leader that challenges them to push them forward to the God dream or the God calling on their life. So if you aren't opening up your home, start there. Super practical. You need to open up your home for people on your team. And this could be as little or as large as you can put it. But what I would always say is people will model what they see. So be what you want to see. You want team leaders to have their teams in their home, have the team leaders in your home and do it consistently. I would recommend to you for the first probably 3 to 5 years, if not forever, opening up your home one Sunday after church, have your home open. No matter what context you're in, I get it, you're tired. We're all tired. Let's be tired together. Let's have fun. Let's order pizza, watch a movie, watch sports, hang out, grill out, go to the pool. Just have fun together. And a team that has fun together and makes memories together will last so much longer than just a team who's always just in meetings and always is doing stuff together. But more than that, can we just hang out? Can we be friends? And I promise you, the people that you can actually hang out, you can do life with, you can laugh with, you can get dinner with, you like the same food, you go to the same places, you live in the same area. Those are the people that will do life with you and build with you. The people who don't laugh at your jokes, the people who don't like the same food as you, the people who don't like the same things as you. And again, that's why I said you need to find commonalities to just find that common ground and just do that, have fun together. And again, we don't have to like all the same things. That's obviously a generalization. But what I'm saying is find the people who speak your language, find the people who are running the same race as you, have the same goals, same values as you and their family, not just what's on the board, but actually what's in your heart and in their heart. Promise you guys have fun together. You build together. You can never stop building towards what God's put in your heart. So I'm going to run through these five again. And again, I appreciate all of you so much for listening to this podcast. We're in over 60 countries right now. And I believe that if you, again, apply these principles, you will see not just volunteers, but leaders come through your organization. So they aren't doing us a favor. We're providing opportunities for them to rise up into God's design. Not everyone will build the way you want to build. That's okay. Your authority is in your authenticity. Don't look for people that want to serve your vision. Look for people who have vision and care more about the person and their family than what we are doing. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. Again, we create content every single week for you, the leader, the person who is building towards what God's put in your heart. I believe, again, you apply these principles, you will see crazy change in your organization and crazy change in your volunteers. We'll see you next week.